Well, today I'm going to take care of old business. A few weeks ago, I think it's been close to 6 weeks ago now, I gave a message on Romans chapter 14, and I covered the first 13 verses there. And in those first 13 verses, Paul talked about vegetarianism and said there's nothing about vegetarianism that violates God's law. He didn't recommend it. He said those that are weak usually partake of that. But he said not be judgmental. If people want to be a vegetarian, that's their prerogative. It doesn't violate anything God tells us to do. And also in the first 13 verses, he talked about, he has the statement that all days are alike. And people take that as saying, well, that means the Sabbath done away. But he wasn't talking about the Sabbath. He was talking about people set aside certain days to fast. So he didn't really make that all that clear. But anyway, in my sermonette, I tried to make that clear. Today, I would like to cover Romans 14, verse 14, and you can start turning there if you'd like. And the title of my message is, did the Apostle Paul say in Romans 14, 14, that all foods are clean? Actually, our Bibles do say that, but I'm asking you, did Paul say that? And of course, the answer is most likely, you already know, he didn't say that. So let's read Romans 14, verse 14. He says, I know and am convinced by the Lord Jesus that there is nothing unclean of itself. And that's the statement of people zero in on. See there? There's nothing unclean of itself. So why do you people hold on to that clean and unclean food stuff? But to him who considers anything to be unclean, to him it is unclean. Yet if your brother is grieved by your food, by the way, the word food there would be better translated meat. The word, the Greek word is broma, and it's one of those words that can be translated food, but in this context, it should be rendered meat, and you'll see that as I continue. Are you no longer walking in love? Do not destroy with your food, again, meat, the one for whom Christ died. Therefore, do not let your good be spoken of as evil. For the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. For he who serves Christ in these things is acceptable to God and approves of men. Verse 19, therefore let us pursue the things which make for peace and things for which one may edify one another. Do not destroy the work of God for the sake of food. And again, it could be translated meat. All things indeed are pure, but it is evil for the man who eats with offense. So he's talking about a subject that you don't know exactly what it's all about yet. It is good neither to eat meat nor drink, wine nor anything by which your brother stumbles. And here they got the word meat right, but it's a little different word than broma, but it's a more specific word pointing to meat. It says, nor do anything to which your brother stumbles or is offended or is made weak. Do you have faith? Have it to yourself. Before God, happy is he who does not condemn himself in what he approves. But he who doubts is condemned if he eats, because he does not eat from faith. For whatsoever is not from faith is sin. Now, it's quite a bit of reading there, but I wanted to cover the whole subject there. So it seems like Paul is saying, it seems like Paul is contradicting Leviticus 11 and Deuteronomy 14, which clearly say some things are unclean. So why is he saying that? Well, the point is he's not saying that. The problem here is that we speak English and he was writing in Greek. If we spoke Greek and read Greek, we would have no problem whatsoever with this section. And I'll prove that as I go along. The, you know, part of the reason is the way these things happen is what we call confirmation bias. And, you know, the translators, they didn't believe in clean and unclean food, so they didn't bother with being very careful about what words they used. But, you know, that's a sad situation there. The best word to be used, in verse 14, the word unclean is mentioned three times. Each one of those words should not be called unclean. It could be called defiled, profaned, polluted. Defiled, profane, or polluted. And that's what it's talking about. It's talking about meat that God said is clean to eat that has somehow been polluted, defiled in some way. That's what he's really talking about. But some ask, you know, doesn't this mean that pork and lobster is good? Because he said nothing. Well, here's the point. To an observant Jew or to a real Christian, pork and lobster and all of that stuff is not food. The only thing is food is what God calls food, and he doesn't call that food. It's not food. There is one translation that I found that I like, particularly for this verse. It's called the Apostolic Bible Polyglot. And, you know, it isn't common translation that people read, but it is a very good one because they knew Greek. You couldn't fool them on Greek. And it says this, I know and am persuaded by the Lord Jesus Christ that nothing is profane if it or of itself except to the one considering anything to be profane. To that one it is profane. So that's what the Greek actually says. And, you know, you could substitute other words, profane, polluted, or several other words, defiled. So what Paul was saying is nothing is profane of itself, and he's speaking of clean food. He could have said no clean meat is profane of itself. In other words, something outside caused it to become polluted or profane. And he mentions of what God has it labeled clean. And we know, you know, from the context that Paul is writing, and he would not, you know, Paul was an observant Jew before he was converted, and he wouldn't deny anything that's written in the Old Testament. Okay, let me cover a little bit of technicalities here. There are two Greek words that have to do with this situation. One of them means unclean. One of them means the King James translators like the word common, and that's not a very good word in my opinion. It doesn't tell you too much. Common doesn't mean a whole lot. You know, profane or defiled is better. But one of the words is artharatos, which is Greek 169. That one means unclean. That's all it means, unclean. It doesn't mean anything else. It means unclean. Unclean in the Leviticus sense. And when the Septuagint translates Leviticus and Deuteronomy, it uses that word. So that's the word that should be translated unclean. The other word, which they mistranslated, is koinos. And that's the one that means common or profaned or polluted and that kind of thing. So there is a scripture that uses both words in one verse. So I'd like to turn to that verse. That's Acts 10 and verse 11. And this is the incident where Peter had this sheet of different things lowered to him, and you know what happened. They told him to eat. So let's read that verse. Acts 10, verse 11. Speaking of Peter, and saw heaven opened, and an object like a great sheet bound at the four corners, descending to him and let him down, and let down to the earth. In it were all kinds of four-footed animals of the earth, wild beasts, creeping things, birds of the air, and a voice came to him and said, "Rise, Peter, kill and eat." How would you like to be told that? But Peter said, "Not so, Lord, for I have never eaten anything common or unclean," or it could be translated polluted or unclean. And the word unclean here is the proper word, or karathos, and the other is koinos, which is common or polluted. So again, I'd say if we spoke Greek, read Greek, we've had no problem at all with this section. So what is Paul addressing in this thing? He didn't tell us specifically what he was talking about. I mean, if we read Greek, we would know, because we'd see these words that rather than say food, they would say meat, as they should say. But in English, it doesn't say that. So let's turn to 1 Corinthians 8 and read what Paul wrote about how clean meat can be polluted or defiled. 1 Corinthians 8, verse 1. "Now concerning things offered to idols," and there you go, that tells us what he's talking about. "We know that we all have knowledge, and knowledge puffs up, but love edifies." So for sake of time, let's skip down to verse 4, "Therefore, concerning the eating of things offered to idols," so that's what we're talking about, "we know that an idol is nothing in the world, and that there's no other God but one. For even if there are so-called gods, whether in heaven or in earth," and there are many gods, and then skip down to verse 7, "however, there is not in everyone that knowledge, for some with consciousness of the idol until now eat it as a thing offered to idol." And I don't know if we need to read all of this. I think I'll go ahead and read some of it. "But food does not commend us to God, but if we do not eat, are we worse? Sometimes I have trouble reading Paul's writing. So anyway, I think you can read that later. But anyway, what he's telling us here, that some people go to the market and they know that some of this clean meat has been offered to idols. This is what was left over. And they say, "I don't want to eat that. It's been offered to idols." How many of you have gone to the market recently and said, asked the butcher, "Has this been offered to idols?" I don't think so. You know, this is not a problem that we have today. But Paul needed to cover it for that time back there. The Bible is for all times, all people. And so he wrote on this subject because it was a problem. And he goes on to say, if I read all of this, he goes on to say, don't be judgmental of those who don't like to eat that food because they know it's been offered to idols. He said, have it to yourself at home. Don't worry about it. Don't bother them about it. Now, you might wonder, I've read part of Corinthians, but Paul was speaking to the Romans, and you say, well, did the Romans know what he wrote to the Corinthians? And the answer is probably yes. We know from history that the churches during that time, when they got a letter from Paul, one of the first things they did is they found someone who knows how to compose and write, and they copied the letter, and they would send it off to another church. You can check Colossians 4:16. Well, I'll read that. It says, now when this epistle is read among you, see that it is read also in the church of the Laodiceans, and that you likewise read the epistle from Laodicea. In other words, they exchanged documents. They exchanged communication from Paul, so they both understood. So yes, they likely knew what Paul wrote to the Corinthians as well in Roman. There's another aspect to this that I'd like to give you. When somebody tells you that Paul writes something that changes doctrine, don't you believe it. Paul doesn't have the authority to change doctrine. Neither does Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John, or James, or Peter, or Jude. They don't have the authority to change doctrine. There are only two people in the universe that have the authority to change doctrine. That's the Father and the Son. So don't you believe anyone which says Paul changed this, or Matthew changed this, or whatever. So particularly Romans 14:14 doesn't change anything about clean and unclean foods.